It's not official yet, but we're almost there. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is to sign a new deal with the Arsenal. Hello and welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna. It's another edition of our transfer update show. And as always, we've got lots to discuss. But today, the big news is the reports saying that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang will end the speculation with regards to his future and sign a new three-year contract with the Arsenal. Now, we've been telling you that this has been coming for a while now, but it's come from some more reliable sources than me today. We've had the report come out from The Athletic. David Ornstein and James McNicholas together published a report earlier on today, which detailed a little bit more about the negotiations between Arsenal and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. So we're going to have a quick look at that report. We're also going to be talking a little bit about Arsenal's interest in Houssem Aouar, and we'll also be discussing the future of Emiliano Martinez. All of that and more to come on today's edition of the Transfer Update Show. If you've got any questions, I'm going to ask you to hold fire on those. Keep them in the chat, and I'll ask you to put those to me a little bit later on in the stream. But if you put them in now in the comments, they'll probably get lost. I won't be able to find them when I need them, and then I'll unfortunately miss those. So please hold on to your questions for now, and we'll come to those a little bit later on in the podcast. But feel free to comment on anything we're discussing during the show. You're always welcome to put your opinions across. And of course, as always, I'll be sharing some of those with the wider audience. Right. Let's start off with the big news, of course. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang will sign a three-year contract at Arsenal. That is according to The Athletic's report today. David Ornstein tweeted earlier on, he shared the report, it was around about 8 hours ago now. He said, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang to end speculation over Arsenal's future by signing a new three-year contract, which will enable him to become the best paid AFC player. Arteta intervention key and relations with the 31-year-old plus his father were fundamental, to getting the deal over the line. So what does that tell you? It tells you that Mikel Arteta was instrumental in that deal. Now, you know, some people are still on the fence about Mikel Arteta. Some people still wonder, you know, what it is that he brings to the table. And I know there have been a lot of you that have been critical of Mikel Arteta. That's not the majority. The majority have been fully supportive of him. But there are still some people out there who question whether he's the right man for this job. Well, the fact that he's been instrumental in tying down our most important bit of business, I would say, that we're going to do in the next 2 or 3 years, tells you all you need to know about Mikel Arteta, about the relationship he has with the players, and about the influence he has at the moment. These players believe in what Mikel Arteta is trying to do. These players believe in the project, and these players would agree that he is taking Arsenal on the right path for now. Now, of course, he's going to need backing. Of course, he's going to need more support from the hierarchy, from the powers that be at Arsenal. But this is a real, real positive step. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is such an important part of this team. Not only is he our captain, he's our top goal scorer. I mean, I dread to think where Arsenal would have been, you know, last season had Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang not scored the goals that he did. I think there were some stats flying around on that saying that we would have been in the bottom half of the table. I'm sure that probably would have been the case. He was that important. And you only need to look at sort of his goal record since he's come to Arsenal to understand how crucial, how key, how pivotal this guy has been. Yes, he's 31 years old. Yes, there will be questions raised about whether a three-year contract is too long, just like there were questions raised about Willian when we done that signing. But from an Arsenal perspective, you just have to get these deals done. You have to get these players. And if the only way you're going to sign them up is by meeting their terms, which in Aubameyang's case, he wanted a three-year deal, then that has got to be what you do. It's as simple as that. And just to give you an idea, just to look at his goal record, and I know you guys have probably seen this already. I'm sure we've spoken about this on the show previously, but 110 Arsenal appearances, 71 goals and 15 assists. That is a remarkable return for a forward player. That is a remarkable return. It's brilliant. It's incredible. It's as good as anybody out there. And Arsenal are certainly not in a position now where we can go out and buy a 50, 60 million pound striker. In which case, even if you did spend 50, 60 million pound on a striker nowadays, are you guaranteed to get the kind of goal return that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's brought to the table? No, of course you're not. Of course you're not. So we've got to be pleased with this. The official announcement has still not come, but we understand that it is imminent. Now that the report's broken from a very reliable source in The Athletic, in David Ornstein, James McNicholas's name is on that report as well, so we shouldn't sort of overlook his contribution as well. But this says to me that the deal is done. I've been saying to you guys for a few weeks now that it is done. And I am buzzing. I'm really, really excited. And I can't wait till the announcement comes out. I'm sure Arsenal are going to get creative with that. Well, I hope they are. And I look forward to sort of the response from people, from those people in particular who were skeptical over whether this deal was going to happen or not. You know, there've been a lot of people in recent times who have gone, oh, well, you know, why hasn't he signed yet? Is he waiting to see the transfer business? Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is going to sign. We've got it on good authority now. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has agreed a new contract with Arsenal. And these are really, really exciting times as the club continue to progress. Now, I said it before, I'll say it again. I've probably already said it on this show today, but I'm so excited. I'm going to say it once more. This will be the most significant piece of business that Arsenal do during this transfer window and probably for the next two or three transfer windows to come. Do not underestimate how important this is for the club, how important this is in terms of our ambitions moving forward, and what a statement this is to all of those other clubs out there that were looking at Arsenal as a weak entity, as a club that wouldn't hold on to their best players. We're keeping Aubameyang. Aubameyang is staying, and now we can continue to build this team around him and hopefully achieve Champions League qualification. Right, let's come over to some of your live comments. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the wages, because there are some reports flying around about the salary that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is supposed to be getting. We know that the report says he could become Arsenal's highest paid player, but we're not sure if that is in relation or if that can only happen if he achieves certain bonuses or if that is to do with his basic salary. Look, whatever the money is, I don't give a shit. He deserves it. We needed to keep him. He, you know, needed that to be convinced. He deserves it given the contribution he's made. And so I'm not going to make too much of that. I don't think, you know, we should be sitting here worrying about the club forking out that kind of money. It's not our money, is it? And as I said on a recent show, the problem with modern day football fans is that we all think we're bloody accountants. So let's not worry about the wages. We'll touch on it a little bit. I'll share with you guys some of the reports that have been doing the rounds in relation to that. But let's go over to some of your comments for the time being. Omar says, finally, it's done and dusted. 375k is a bit iffy, if it is 375k, I have to admit, but he's earned it. Adamola says, hey, Harry, love the show. I'm really expectant for us this season. This is the impact that a signing or a contract extension for someone as good and as important as Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, this is what it does. It lifts a fan base completely. William Bell says, sign the team. Mario says, it's about time. Hamza says he's already signed. John Cover says, hi, Harry, how you doing? Hope all is well. Another great show incoming. Thank you very much, mate. Looking forward to talking through the transfer stories with you guys today, as always. The Arsenal Luchador says, Arsenal will pay him mucho pesos. Peter Presley says, Arsenal could be the dark horse this season, only with Aouar and Partey. Daryl Kane says, well deserved. It is well deserved indeed. He's been so, so important. He's performed consistently. And I look forward to seeing more of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang in an Arsenal shirt now that this speculation is set to end with regards to his future. Daruv says, do you think it is better to have Oba on his current wages for 1 year or have him on an expensive contract for another 3 years? I still think that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is in excellent shape. I still think that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has got at least two seasons at the very, very top. And so I'm fine with Arsenal doing this deal. Look, it's not just about the financials. It's the statement. It's the point that this makes. It's the, you know, all of a sudden Arsenal are not this pushover club who, whenever their players get towards the end of their contract, they're important players, that they can just get the hump, walk away, and we're helpless to it. Or other clubs can come in and take him away from us. Now, I do think to a degree we've been helped by sort of the current circumstances, by the current situation. Obviously, it's a horrible situation. It's an unfortunate situation. But, you know, it has benefited us. I actually believe that, because I think there were clubs that, had this sort of COVID-19 not happened, had they not lost the income that they've lost, then maybe there would have been some clubs sort of knocking at the door, trying to turn Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's head. But the situation is what it is, and Arsenal have persuaded him to stay. Mikel Arteta has been key in that, sorry. And we should be thrilled. We should be really, really pleased, really, really excited by what is to come from Arsenal in the next few years. Let's see. There's a few questions on various other subjects, but we're going to come to those in a little bit. Jose Jimenez says he's going to bang them in. Absolutely. William Bell says, can't help but be optimistic about our chances this season, given our new manager, new mindset, new aspirations and new signings, not to mention new backroom staff. So, yeah. Let's be excited. Let's be happy. Let's be pleased. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is going to sign a contract. Right. Let's move forward. Right. I just want to quickly urge you guys before I jump onto the next subject that if you haven't already, please, please smash the like button. We're 100 subscribers away from hitting 8,000, which when you consider just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about hitting 6,000 is incredible. So please, if you're new to the channel, subscribe, like the stream as well. And let's move on to talk about our next topic of discussion today, which is the future of Emiliano Martinez. Now, I think Saturday's game is going to be key in shaping what happens with Emiliano Martinez, because he's made it very clear he wants to be a number one. He loves Arsenal Football Club. He wants to stay. I don't think there's any question in that. I think that Emiliano Martinez is an Arsenal man. He's been with the club for about 10 years now. But now is the point in his career where he wants to push on, where he wants to be a number one. And at Arsenal, he's obviously had an opportunity recently since, you know, Bernd Leno picked up that injury. Since the Brighton game, he has very, very much been the number one. But Bernd Leno has returned to fitness now. And I think that this is going to play a massive part in what he decides to do. Because if he is not selected on Saturday, I hope he is, because he's earned it. And as I've said on previous streams, he's not done anything wrong to warrant being dropped. But I still kind of believe that Bernd Leno, in the football club's sort of opinion, is still the number one, the go-to. And if Bernd Leno comes back into the side on Saturday, that says to Emi Martinez, I feel, that he's not going to get a fair crack of the whip in terms of proving himself as the number one. What more could Emi Martinez have done to show that he's deserving of that position going into the first game of the season? He, you know, he's been excellent. He hasn't, you know, touch wood. He's been, you know, error-free. He's made some excellent saves. He's been a calming presence, a dominating presence in the defence. He's been very good with set pieces. He's been very good with his shot stopping. His distribution's been excellent. I mean, you can't fault the performances that Emi Martinez has been turning in since he got given the opportunity to take up that mantle as number one. And if, and only if, Mikel Arteta decides to drop him, what message does that send to Emi Martinez? It sends the message that actually, mate, no matter how well you perform, in my mind, Bernd Leno is the number one. And then if that was to happen, you could understand why Emi Martinez may then think, you know what, as much as I love Arsenal Football Club, I'm not happy to just be a cup goalkeeper. I'm not happy with the current situation. I feel like I've done all I could have done to earn that position and I've still been overlooked. So I think that Saturday will tell you whether the two goalkeepers are going to be going head to head for the course of the season, going, you know, up against each other in terms of their performances, battling for that number one shirt, or if, you know, Martinez's efforts have been appreciated but were ultimately in vain because Mikel Arteta is going to turn back to Bernd Leno. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict what's going to happen. I like to think that given the way Mikel Arteta has conducted himself and the way he's operated since becoming Arsenal boss, that he will pick his team on merit above anything else. You know, I accept the argument from both sides. I think you could argue that Martinez deserves to be the number one. I think you can also argue that actually prior to his injury, Bernd Leno didn't do an awful lot wrong and was unfortunate to lose his place. But that's the way it goes. That's how football works. So, you know, it's a tough one and it's probably one of the more difficult decisions that Mikel Arteta will have to make going into Saturday's game at Fulham. So let me know your thoughts. Who's your number one? Emi Martinez, Bernd Leno, who would you like to see in between the sticks? And we know, of course, that there is an interest in Martinez from Aston Villa. We know that is a real genuine interest. Dean Smith's side looking to bring in a goalkeeper this summer, and Emi Martinez is very much on their wish list. They will be looking at Saturday's situation as closely as anybody else as they wait to see whether or not he'll be given the opportunity to continue as Arsenal's number one and whether that will influence whether or not he moves away from the club during this transfer window. So we're going to have to wait and see, but this situation is a difficult one. It's probably, as I said, the most difficult decision Mikel Arteta will have to make this weekend. Does he upset Emi? Does he, I guess, I don't know if he's going to lose credibility with the dressing room, but I guess when you're preaching about non-negotiables, people being committed, people performing, people being concentrated, people maintaining a certain standard, then if you then go back on that and you kind of dismiss what your own sort of principles to replace him with someone who hasn't played in the Arsenal goal for a long, long time, not in a competitive fixture anyway, are you kind of going back on yourself? Are you doing yourself damage? Are you doing your reputation damage within the dressing room? Will the rest of the team look on and think, hold on a minute, you know, we like Bernd Leno, but actually Emi being dropped is a little bit unfair given the displays that he's turned in? I don't know. Lots to discuss, lots to debate. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section below. Just a quick apology if the quality of the video has dropped a little bit. I've got it set so that if it does, if the connection slightly dips, then the quality of the video slightly dips as well, just so that you guys can continue watching without any interruptions. Of course, this show goes out on all of the audio platforms too, and we've got a great deal of subscribers over there as well, so I'm keen for the audio above everything else to be as good as it possibly can be. So I do apologize about that, but fingers crossed, as I said to you guys a few days ago, there are some internet issues here. I am working on it and I hope to have it resolved within the coming days. So fingers crossed on that. Just a quick reminder of how you can become a patron of the podcast. If you head over to patreon.com/thechroniclesofaguna, you can support the podcast for just £3 a month. With that, you'll receive access to exclusive content, priority on the fans show, priority when submitting questions for our experts, a gift after 3 months of membership, and a direct messaging line in to me. If you wish to talk anything Arsenal at any time, you can always drop me a line. The Patreon messages come directly to my inbox. Quick announcement as well. Adrian Clark will be returning to the show on Tuesday night. We'll be going live at 8:30 p.m. UK time. We'll be looking back on the Fulham game and discussing any other transfer news that emerges between now and then. So that is one to look forward to. Did great numbers on the last show. Lots of positive comments. So thank you for your continued support. And I hope you guys enjoy the next installment as much as you did the last one. Finally, let's move on to talk about Houssem Aouar. Now, Fabrizio Romano, a well-respected journalist in the game, he recently reported, or earlier today actually, that Arsenal still want Aouar. Aouar very much wants a move to the Premier League. The price tag has been set at 60 million euros, but Arsenal have not made a new offer since their offer of a swap deal involving Matteo Guendouzi was rebuffed. Now, we're hearing that Aouar has kind of made his intentions clear that he wants to leave Lyon. He's not kept it a secret. He's told the club they're fully aware of what the player wants, but now it's up to somebody to meet that valuation, to offer a deal that suits everybody and will get Houssem Aouar out of the French Ligue 1. We'll have to see how that develops. Over the course of the next few weeks between now and the end of the transfer window. But it does feel very much like Houssem Aouar has made it clear he wants to go, but can Arsenal stump up that kind of money? Will they be able to get some players out the door in order to raise some funds and hopefully be able to meet the price for Houssem Aouar? Now, if Houssem Aouar is adamant that he wants to leave Lyon, if they're adamant that they want 60 million euros, and it gets sort of towards the end of the transfer window and he makes it uncomfortable and he makes it very, very clear that he wants out, maybe, just maybe, you'll see a deal struck which involves installments, in which case that would be a lot easier for Arsenal to get the deal done, for Arsenal to bring him to the Emirates Stadium. But these are all ifs, these are all buts. And I'll stress this point, the interest is there. We know that Lyon have been very open, very transparent about that. But I still feel like this is going to be a difficult one for Arsenal to get over the line, at least until they manage to sell some players. And then we'll see if the money is it is there and the money's available. Let's see what else you guys have got to say. Couple of you sort of mentioning the quality of the video stream. Again, I do apologize. I've said it over the last few days. I've got internet issues, but that should be resolved in the next few days. I do apologize. When you watch it back on playback, I think the quality will be better. So you're probably thinking, what on earth is he talking about now? But I am aware of the issues. I didn't want to stop bringing you guys the show. Didn't want to stop bringing you the streams until it was resolved. So you're just going to have to bear with me. And I appreciate your patience and your support. But we should get that resolved, hopefully over the weekend. There's a plan in place. Let's see what else we've got here. Lots of you making your points about Leno and Martinez. It's quite split, actually. There are people that want to see Leno reinstated. There are people that want to see Emi Martinez keep his place. So let's see how Mikel Arteta sees it. That is the most important at the end of the day, isn't it? Who does Mikel Arteta think is the best? Who does Mikel Arteta think will be, will be the one to keep goal for Arsenal and help us achieve our targets throughout the course of the season? Let's see how that develops. And I think, as I've said, Saturday will tell us a lot about Mikel Arteta's sort of opinion on the goalkeeping situation and about Mikel Arteta's ideas around who should and who shouldn't or who warrants and who doesn't warrant being the club's number one. It's really tough, isn't it? It's a really difficult one. Just 60 likes at the moment, but there are over 300 of you watching. So if you haven't already, please do smash that like button. It would be very much appreciated. Subscribe to the channel. If you're new, as I said, we're just 100 subscribers, or we were at the start of the show, away from hitting 8,000, which would be another excellent milestone. So please feel free to subscribe if you are new to the channel. And now is your opportunity to get your questions in the live chat. Put your questions in, put a queue at the start so I can differentiate the questions from the comments, and I'll go through as many of those as I possibly can between now and the end of this live stream. Let's see. There's a lot of people sort of asking the question about David Luiz. Is David Luiz injured? Is he going to be out for a sustained period of time? You know, there are reports of it. We haven't had official confirmation from the club yet. We don't know exactly what the situation is with the Brazilian. It's a neck injury, we're told. It's an injury that could see him out for 3 months, apparently, at worst, which would be a disaster, in my opinion. Because I know not everybody's David Luiz's biggest fan, but he has shown that, you know, he's a really important part of this system and of this team. He's a leader on and off the pitch. In a back three, looks a completely different player. But, you know, yes, he has his faults, but if we were to lose him now at this stage of the season, I think it would be a huge, huge blow. It would mean relying on Saliba and Gabriel probably, when the reality is that they're both very new to Arsenal. I kind of hope that they would be sort of embedded in slowly, but, you know, I dread to think sort of the impact that it will have if David Luiz is indeed out for that period of time. Now, I've got to stress, at this moment, at the time of recording this, these are just reports. It's not been confirmed by the club. We expect Mikel Arteta, obviously, to speak to the press between now and the game against Fulham on Saturday. Let's see. But yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed that it isn't a long-term injury. Fingers crossed. Right, let's go over to some of your questions. David, let me know. He says, is David Raya a good replacement for Martinez if he is sold? He seems to make a lot of mistakes. Look, I've not seen a great deal of David Raya. I don't follow the Championship as closely as I should. I did cover the playoffs last season, and I got a bit of a look at him there. And he looked okay, but yeah, he does look like a goalkeeper that's got a mistake in him. But the interesting thing is that there is staff at Arsenal that were at Brentford that identified David Raya as someone they wanted back when they signed him. So there is a relationship there. He is someone that is on the radar. Brentford have been very clear up until now that they don't want to sell David Raya. They very much see him as their number one goalkeeper going into the new season. But whether a deal can be done or not, I don't know. Look, if Arsenal make the right offer, then I'm sure Brentford, given their sort of business model and the way they do things, would be tempted to sell him. They've obviously raised some money from Ollie Watkins already this summer, significant amount of money. Will that mean that they can be a little bit more sort of firm on something like this and on David Raya if the interest was to come in? I don't know that Arsenal have made an official bid, but in terms of whether he would be a good replacement for Martinez if sold, I think he's certainly someone with a big future ahead of him and someone that would be signed with that view as someone who could develop and potentially be at the level of a number one. But look, I mean, Martinez, as I said earlier on in the programme, has been excellent. Why would you want to let him go? For me, I'd do everything to keep him at all costs. I really, really would. I'd love to have both of those goalkeepers going into what's going to be a hectic, busy season full of fixtures in the Europa League, in the Cups. You know, the Premier League is also going to be played in a shorter time frame than normal. Of course, the season's 5 weeks or so shorter than it normally is because of the delays caused by COVID. So, yeah, look, I'd love to keep both. But David Raya, kind of on the fence about that one, not 100% sure. Avinit says, hey Harry, curious to know, do you follow any ITK accounts and do you think some of them might have some info? I think there are a lot of accounts that claim to be ITKs, and I hate that term because, you know, it just winds me up because a lot of them are, you know, a lot of it is bullshit, a lot of it is nonsense. Some of it proves to be right in the long run, but if you look at how many things they come out with and how many of those actually come to fruition, you'll probably find that a lot of them are frauds, to be honest. I don't follow specific accounts because they are ITKs. I like to look around for my information. I like to get as much as I can And then try myself to decipher what I think could be genuine, what isn't genuine. I never sit here and say that I know, because I don't, but I will often give my opinions and report the reports that I think are the most likely, at least, to be accurate. Daryl says, is Napoli giving Arsenal any money for Sokratis? How much is being offered for Torreira? So in terms of Sokratis, I think the deal that is being spoken about is around about 3 to 4 million euro. That is what Napoli are willing to pay for Sokratis. Of course, he's got a year left on his contract. He is 32 years old. I never expected Arsenal to get a significant sum for Sokratis. So I'm not, you know, overly fussed by the fact that Napoli aren't willing to put a lot of money on the table. It's what I expected. It's what I thought the case would be. It's something is better than nothing. So, you know, yeah. But that is my information, that it is around 3 to 4 million euros. That is the transfer fee being spoken about. But this deal is not done yet. It's by no means complete. And we're going to have to wait and see whether that one materializes. In terms of Lucas Torreira, the last I heard, Fiorentina had made an offer which compromised of a 9 million euro loan fee, which would see him join La Viola for the 2020-21 campaign. And there would be an option to buy clause at the end of that, which was rumoured to be around 12 to 13 million euro. So if you take the figure at 12, you're looking at a deal in total worth about 21 million euros for Lucas Torreira. Now, you could argue that that's sort of quite a substantial loss on what Arsenal paid for him. But the reality is his Arsenal career hasn't been as positive, I don't think, as we hoped it would be. As due to a number of factors, due to management, I would say, in Unai Emery's case, it was clear that he wasn't the player he wanted. He made no secret of that. He wanted somebody more in the profile of Steven and Nzonzi. He ended up with Lucas Torreira, didn't use him right, in my opinion. And the player's been homesick. He's had injuries. So I feel like if we were to do a deal that would see us pick up anything between 20 and 25 million pounds for Lucas Torreira, that would be worth considering, I would say. Let's see what else we've got here. Big hello to those of you joining us a little bit later on in the program as well. I know some of you have just tuned in. If you have just tuned in, smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel if you are new. Let's see what Asa has to say. Hi, Harry. What are your thoughts on Aouar telling Leon that he wishes to leave? Is this our best chance to beat out the other big clubs to the signing? Look, Aouar has reportedly told Leon that he wants to go. We don't know that he's told the club that he wants to go to Arsenal, but we are aware that Arsenal's interest in Aouar is very much genuine. We've had it confirmed by Leon's Janino, you know, sporting director over there. He's made it clear that Arsenal are in for Houssem Aouar, that they have discussed the potential of bringing him to the Emirates Stadium. But at this moment in time, we are no closer to a deal being done. Arsenal made an initial offer, which included Matteo Guendouzi, but Leon say he's not the profile of player they are looking for. They want 60 million euro. Arsenal, at the moment, have not tabled a bid anywhere near that. Is this our chance to beat the other clubs off? Yeah, I think under normal circumstances, there'd be a lot more interest in Houssem Aouar. That's why if I was Arsenal, I'd stick my neck out. I'd make the investment that's required. Do whatever it takes to raise those funds. We expect to see some players leave, as we've already said. Hopefully that goes a long way in bridging the gap. But the more I think about this, the more I think it's going to be one of Aouar or Partey, if any, rather than two of them or both of them. I know a lot of people seem to think that that is a realistic possibility. I completely disagree. I'll be shocked if we landed both of them. I'd love to see it, but as I said, I'd be absolutely shocked. Let's pick up a couple more questions before we round off today's stream. Let's see. Apologies if I miss your question. There are a lot in the chat and sometimes I just scroll through and I miss some out, and it's not intentional, I promise. Jay asks, Harry, would you take Lorenzo Pellegrini of Roma if we don't get Aouar, as he has a buyout clause of 25 million? I don't know that that's his buyout clause. You may know better than me, so, you know, I'm going to trust you on that for the sake of this sort of point. You know, Lorenzo Pellegrini, not for me. Just doesn't really fit the profile of midfielder that I feel Arsenal are lacking. Now, I feel like, you know, I keep getting asked this question, Partey or Aouar? Partey or Aouar? And I always lean to Partey because I feel like that physicality that he would bring is something that Arsenal are crying out for. Would Houssem Aouar bring that? Not necessarily, but what he would bring is technical ability and quality that I feel Arsenal need more of. In terms of technical ability, in terms of passing range, in terms of football intelligence, I do think when you look past Danny Ceballos, who's obviously rejoined the club on loan, Granit Xhaka doesn't have a partner really in there that can bring that to the table. Houssem Aouar would bring that quality. Pellegrini would bring that quality to an extent as well. But he's not in that top bracket for me. He's not in that bracket of player that we should be looking to break the bank on. Look, 25 million on Lorenzo Pellegrini would feel like very much like one of those signings where, you know, a bit like some of the ones we've done over recent years, Guendouzi, Torreira, where they're kind of like, yeah, you know what, they seem to be decent, okay signings, but are they going to push Arsenal onto that next level the way a Houssem Aouar may, the way Thomas Partey might? No, I don't think so. So for that reason, I'm not sure at a time when Arsenal are clearly financially not in the greatest position, I'm not sure that that kind of investment on someone like Lorenzo Pellegrini would be wise. But that's just obviously my thought. Let's see what else we've got here. A couple of you mentioning Julian Draxler. It is being rumoured that Julian Draxler is being offered by Paris Saint-Germain in a swap deal that would see Matteo Guendouzi return to Paris. Look, Julian Draxler, I've said it before, we seem to be linked with him every year. We've been linked with him every year for the last 10, 15 years, honestly. All right, not 15 is an exaggeration, but at least for the last 8 to 10 years, you know, just, yep, Julian Draxler, Julian Draxler, Julian Draxler, Julian Draxler. You know, maybe I'm even exaggerating when I say 8 to 10, but I can't think of a transfer window in memory where we haven't been linked to him. If that deal was going to happen, it would have happened a long time ago. I really do not for a second believe that Julian Draxler is going to come to Arsenal. If PSG want to cough up and want to take Matteo Guendouzi off of our hands, I'm sure Arsenal would be more than willing to let the Frenchman go. But Julian Draxler, I don't think, will be a part of any deal that Arsenal do this summer. Omar asks, do you think our season could be over by November, seeing as we have tough opening fixtures? I don't rule that out, to be honest. Nah, I think that's been a little bit negative going into the start of the season. Look, at the end of the day, our aim this season is to qualify for the Champions League, whether that is via the league, whether that is via the Europa League. You know, I don't expect us to be out of the Europa League by November. Therefore, our season can't be over because we would still have the opportunity to achieve our season objective by winning that competition. I feel like with what Arsenal have shown in recent times under Mikel Arteta, in terms of the way they are good in one-off games, organised in one-off games, I feel like we're probably more equipped than we've ever been now to go on and win that Europa League competition. And if we did, not only would we be adding a European trophy to Arsenal's rich history, but we'd also be achieving our season target of qualifying for the UEFA Champions League, which would be huge. It would be absolutely huge. It would be so, so important. It would be a real statement. It would mean the world to the club, and it would just, you know, increase Mikel Arteta's profile, increase the belief in Mikel Arteta further. And he's already in a good place, Mikel Arteta, in terms of the support that he's got, but it will only get better. It will only grow. And, you know, I look forward to seeing what this man's going to bring to this football club. I really, really do. Right, big thank you to everybody who's been tuned in throughout this stream. Smash that like button if you haven't already. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Leave your comments if you're watching via playback. And leave us a review if you're listening via the audio. thank you once again for tuning in. We're going to be back tomorrow, but tomorrow's show is going to be a little bit different. Of course, we'll be keeping you up to date with any transfer news that crops up between now and then, but we're going to be looking ahead to the game against Fulham. It'll be our first preview show of the 2020-21 season, and I look forward to getting onto that and talking about some actual football as well. So, yeah. Hope you enjoy it. Stick your notifications on if you haven't already, and that way you'll know when we go live and you'll be able to join us for that. Until next time, take care and all the best. Ciao.